Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're speaking with Linda McCann, and she is an author. And very good morning to you, Linda.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And the reason, one of the main reasons we wanted to talk to you is because you're going to be coming to Atlantic on Thursday evening, correct?
Correct.
And where and what time?
I will be at the Atlantic Library at 7 p.m.
Okay, Atlantic Public Library. Always doing something at the library, and I think libraries have become much more active in getting things to happen. So I know that they are looking forward to having you there, and hope a lot of people will also be interested in this particular topic, Prohibition. Linda, right. How did all that start?
Well, I kind of fell into writing all the way around. I'm from Shell Rock, Iowa, which is over by Waterloo. And when I got into genealogy years ago, I discovered I was descended from the founder of Shell Rock, which I had not grown up there. And so about 10 years ago, we started a historical society in Shell Rock, and I was elected president. And I just felt like I had to learn some more history. And one of the things that got me interested was all these named locations around Shell Rock that aren't towns now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I researched them, did a book for the museum, and moved on. And I was lucky enough, a publisher came to me and said, can you turn this into a series? And so I mainly write what we call lost towns of whatever county. And they're these named locations that our kids and our grandkids don't know are there. But while I was working, I had written a book about an electric train that ran between Waverly and Cedar Rapids, again, that I knew nothing about. I was in Denver talking about this to a group of ladies, and they were telling me that their entertainment was to go and watch the train come in on on Saturday night. Because after Prohibition, Blackhawk County was dry, Greenwood County was wet. The men from Waterloo rode the trolley to Denver to get their supplies.
Oh.
And these women were 8 to 10 years old, and they loved watching the men get off. And when they could stay late enough, they loved the men coming back to get on the trolley. And so they're telling me these stories, which is what I love to hear. When we finished, their activity director came up, and she literally whispered in my ear, what was Prohibition?
Oh, really?
And I kind of looked at her, and I explained it to her. And driving home, I thought, I wonder what my daughters know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're both Wartburg College grads. And they knew Al Capone. They knew the Untouchables. They tried to push Bonnie and Clyde in with that. And that's all they knew. And the more I talk to younger people, in fact, I just had two people in the last month say to me, I did not know Iowa had Prohibition. I knew Chicago had Prohibition and New York City, but I didn't know it was in Iowa.
So we learn from the TV rather than learning from real history. So you're giving us real history here.
Yes. I spend a lot of time reading old newspapers. And this was interesting because I could talk to the children of the Moonshiners and Bootleggers. And
yes.
One of the first questions I would say is, why did your dad choose to break the law? You know?
And did they know their dad was breaking the law?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of them was old enough that he had helped with it, you know. And his dad was a farmhand. Remember when everybody had farmhands?
Sure.
And this guy had three children and a wife and supporting them on $1 a day. And as the Depression got going and things got bad, the price dropped, and he could not support his family. And he learned he could get liquor out of Rockford, Illinois. It would come in a 50-gallon barrel, and they would break it up into pint bottles, and the kids took it to their dance halls to sell.
The kids took it?
Yes.
Interesting. So the whole family is breaking the law, but you know, what comes first? Keep feeding your family? Or following a law that isn't really followed in a lot of places.
Right. I mean, the rich are breaking it anyway, you know. So you got to feed your family. And I was very shocked at some of these responses I got, you know, and that's why I love writing what I call my off-topic books, because they are where I can talk to people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Lost sounds I get all from books, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's that sort of thing.
Yeah, you've got a lot of things that are public record. You can go to lots of records for that.
Right.
But maybe not so much from Prohibition. Although, I meant to mention this before we got started, you are probably familiar with Bryce Bauer from Audubon, who wrote a book called Gentlemen Bootleggers. And so there was a lot of activity right here in Southwest Iowa.
Right. And I actually refer a lot of people to that book because, to me, as close as can be told, he told what went on with the Templeton Rye and such, you know. And when I was in Carroll yesterday, I said right to him, I'm not talking about Templeton Rye. I have learned that you guys know more than I do anyway. And plus, there's too many stories that some people don't want to know the truth,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, to me, go and read that book, and we're going to talk about other things.
Okay. Now, one of the things that you are going to talk about here, because it is Prohibition in Eastern Iowa, is the title of your book, but I know you've spoken in a lot of places in Iowa, not just on the east side of Iowa. So, but what was the impact? Is that one of the things you include? What happened to the state and to families in Iowa because of Prohibition?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Again, I talked to the son of a moonshiner. No, a bootlegger, sorry. A lot of times those terms were used interchangeably.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the moonshiner made the stuff. The bootlegger just transported it and sold it. And this was I guess he was the son of a moonshiner. His dad made liquor. And he dug tunnels from each building to the house. And the stills were in those tunnels. And the revenuers could not find them because they did not know about the tunnels. And they would come and look, and they'd say, you heat your hen house? Well, yes, the chickens give more eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You heat the hog house? Well, yes, they eat better, you know. And they believed him. He got making so much liquor, he decided to take it into Chicago. And he took it in, transporting it in a load of cattle, and the moonshine was in the footlights, or in the manure.
Whoa.
Around the cattle. And he was making money hand over fist.
He was big business.
Yeah, it was a big business, tax-free, you know. Eventually, the mob followed him home, told him he was going to work for him, and for them, and he did. But he got making so much money, as his neighbors were losing their farms, he was buying them up. He became the largest landowner in Chippewa County, which is New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this son was telling me, and the son was probably in his late 60s, early 70s, and he said, as I was growing up and my kids were growing up, all they heard was that your dad was a crook and he stole our farm. You know,
oh, sure.
Because he had the money to buy these farms. And the guy is almost in tears telling me, now my grandson is hearing it. This little boy, about 7, knows nothing about his great-grandfather anyway. Now he's being told his grandfather's a crook and he stole their farm. And this guy says, I truly wish my dad had not done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I had not run into that. It was very interesting to see how this impacted one family, you know.
And still is impacting the family.
Right. And, you know, small town rural Iowa, probably this kids will be teased and such.
The story goes on. So that's just one of the interesting stories that you're going to be sharing on Thursday night at the Atlantic Public Library. Linda McCann with lots of interesting stories, and I'm sure you'll be open to discussion and some people maybe who are kind of connected may want to come and visit with you too. So, Linda.
I love to pick up new stories, so please come and share them with me. And I will have copies of the book and my other books with me.
Great. Very good. And we want to thank you so much, Linda McCann, for visiting with us this morning about your visit to Atlantic and the topic of prohibition in Eastern Iowa, prohibition in Iowa, that you will be discussing at 7 o'clock at the library. And until next time, here's a thought. Others may change us, but we start and end with family.